Lesson number 13. In this lesson, we study the life that counts. The life that counts. We are going to consider Christian growth. How we may develop into the state that is pleasing to God. And our memory verse says, "Grow in grace and in a knowledge of our Lord Savior Christ." We are to grow in grace and knowledge. Now when Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14, we beheld the glory full of grace and truth. Truth is knowledge, when we have a knowledge of the truth. The knowledge tells us what we should do, and the grace gives us power to do it. So when we are to grow, we are to realize through an increasing knowledge of what is possible, and then we are to achieve through an increasing infusion of grace by getting the power to reach to those ideals that our knowledge holds before us. Part number one, our inner life. Our inner life. This growth begins in secret. It begins within the human personality. Sometimes the beginning appears to be dramatic. Paul's conversion seems to have been a dramatic one on the road to Damascus. But I have a feeling that it began at the preaching of Stephen. That ideas that there began to germinate later came to fruition. It's an inner, secret infusion of the power of the Spirit. We don't seek Him. He seeks us. We don't find Him. He finds us. And He comes within us. And He begins to work new thoughts, new ideas, new ideals, new possibilities. And as we follow on, these come to flower and fruition. And the promise of this section is that I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Now when these thoughts come by the Spirit, we must fix them. Satan will attempt to make us distracted. He will move us away. He will turn us to other things. He will suggest other priorities, only to destroy us. But if we keep our minds stayed upon Him, God promises to keep us in perfect peace because we trust in Him. As we keep our minds on Him, He assures us that He will renew us, that He will strengthen us as we walk, that He will help us as we run. So as the speed increases, if our minds are stayed on Him and we trust in Him, we will progress in peace. Part number two. Our aspiring life. What does it mean to aspire? Inspire is to drink in. Aspire is to long toward. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are dissatisfied. This has been called the godly discontent. We are not satisfied with self. We are not satisfied with relationships. We are not satisfied with progress. Now let's think inwardly now, personally. Are you satisfied with your marriage? Are you satisfied with your parenting? Are you satisfied with being the right kind of children to your parents? Are you satisfied with being the right kind of student in your class or the teacher? Are you satisfied with your ministry? Are you satisfied with anything that you are doing in your life? Or do you, in your inmost souls, feel that there could be a better, a more significant achievement? Now, if this desire for improvement exists, it's a guarantee that the Spirit is working. No man cometh unto me, the Father draw him. No man feels the uplifting calling of Christ if the grace of the Spirit is not functioning there. So the fact that we are hungering and thirsting, even if we haven't come to focus on the food that will satisfy our hunger and the drink that will slake our thirst, if we are groping, if we are hungering, the Spirit is trying to do some things. This is the first work. This is the beginning. Now, how do we respond? If we will, in our praying, say, Lord, help me to gain something here. Help me to do something here. What priority do you hold before me? What do you want me to seek first of the kingdom of heaven that is the better kingdom? He will bring floating into your minds what you should do. The little voice will be there saying, this is the way. Begin walking in it. Part number 3. In our family life, what should we do there? Can we pray as a family, give us this day the daily bread that we should eat in our family, father, mother, children? What should we be feeding on? What books should we be reading? What television programs should we be thinking about? If our family life is to grow, fathers, what are you doing to your children? Irritating them? Provoking them? Or bringing them up in the fear and nurture of God? Children, what are you doing? Are you obeying as in the Lord? Are you remembering your chain of authority? God, parents, you? Are you consulting, working with them? Remembering that back of it all is your Father in heaven? In our family life, where could we improve? Worship? Times together? Leisure? Outings? Readings? Games? Opportunities? Worship? Pathfinding? Ask God. He's capable of bringing to your consciousness what He wants you to do. Seriously ask. And when He responds, don't turn away. Part number 4. Our social living. None of us lives to himself. No man is really an island. He's touched by 1,000 oceans. He's nudged by people every day. What is our social life? In the office, in the church, in the business, in the factory, in the home, friends, associates, workmates. What is it like? What kind of prejudices cleave? In the real Christian living, there's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no black, no white, no barbarian, no Scythian, no bond, no free, no male, no female. You're all one in Christ. Are there any areas there where a little aspiring, a little thinking, a little praying can show ways of improving? Part number 5. The quality of our lives. What quality do we have? Mundane, earthly things? When we finish the day, when we finish the week, when we finish the month, when we look back over the years, what have we done? When the things around us disappear, when all the houses are burned up and all the trees are destroyed, the surface of the earth is broken up, and the saints are in heaven, what will this year hold? We're coming to the end of 1981. What have you done in 1981 that you will rejoice with forever? Is there some soul whom you've turned to the kingdom of heaven who will be your friend 10 billion years from now? Is there some pain that you've alleviated in some heart for which you will get grateful looks 1 billion years from now? What qualities of life are we putting in that will last forever? Are we helping some person to gain forgiveness? Are we giving some person a second chance so that they can overcome the weaknesses in their character? Are we putting on charity that is the bond of perfection? Are we allowing peace to reign in our hearts? Are we grateful for our knowledge and the privilege of stewardship to which we have been called? Are we working towards strengthening ourselves as members of one body? What is the quality of our social life? Now, how are we to attain this standard? First of all, we should study God's Word. He will bring through this study insights and instruction. Then we should take counsel with each other. We should learn from each other. Then we should open our hearts to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Part number 6. This life of ours will lead to an eternal life or eternal damnation. Only two gates. Only two roads. And it is upon our choice that our ultimate success depends. If any man will come after me, he must deny himself, Jesus said. He must take up his cross and follow me. I am the way. I am the goal. A merchantman looks for goodly pearls. Jesus Christ is the pearl. There are 12 of them leading into the city. Will we find the pearl of great price? Jesus Christ is the ultimate foundation. Are we standing upon him now? During the past 2 quarters, we have been studying the fundamental doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They are all based in the Scriptures. They all focus on Jesus Christ. They are all calculated to lead us there. Some of them show us the way to go, others of them give us the motivation and drive to go. They are part of that form of doctrine which was delivered to us, as Paul says in Romans 6. They form a united whole. One part links with the other. They are the revelation of God for these last days. They are part of present truth. We neglect one, and that is the break in the link of the chain. Each of the doctrines is tied into the other. It is because God is God that we must live. It's because Jesus Christ died that we are health reformers. It's because he wishes us in baptism and foot washing and communion to practice and thus by doing learn that he has given us these symbols. It is because we need to that he tells us to bring tithes and offerings and bring ourselves into an assembly of his people on the Sabbath day. There is nothing he requires that is useless. There is no doctrine that is mere theory. Every revelation of truth is given to us for a practical purpose. Now, as we take these lessons, as we take these doctrines that we have reviewed, let's ensure that day by day we carry out, through faith, by the empowering grace, through the guidance of the Spirit, all that we ought to. First, that we might glorify God. Second, that we might be an example and blessing to those around us, believers and unbelievers alike. And thirdly, that we ourselves should not disappoint our Savior, that when he sees us and the travail of his soul that he has expended on us, that he will be satisfied that we are there with him in the new heavens and the new earth. The revelation of God begins at creation, and within 3 chapters of Genesis, comes to the great divorce, the separation of the bride and the bridegroom, and the wandering of the bride in the blood-soaked fields of the world. But the bridegroom never gave up, and the Bible ends with the bridegroom calling the bride, "Come, all things are now ready." We have listened through these doctrines to the various angles by which the bridegroom is appealing to us, through the various truths that we must embed in our thinking in order to maintain right relationships. May the Lord fulfill His design so that in the great hereafter not one of us shall be missing.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.